It's a little snapshot from a day in the life of Pastor Joe. Back on the 15th, so Wednesday 2 weeks ago, I heard about a vigil that was going to be going on in Milwaukee for Pastor Rendon, and it was happening that evening. I'd heard about it the day before, and I was kind of looking through my schedule, trying to figure out, like, okay, like, I feel like I should go to this. How do I juggle and make it work? And I, you know, I was really had myself over the sawhorse about how I was going to make this work, or did I really need to get down there if I was just, like, telling people and back and forth. And I realized that, you know, I was very caught up. I was spending a lot of energy worrying about what was the right thing for me to do in that moment, you know, to juggle my schedule around or to do, you know, how I was going to make that moral calculus, you know, figure out what I ought to be doing in that situation. And it struck me in that moment that, you know, myself and Pastor Tom, we get up here 3 times a Sunday, every week. We're here every week, folks, talking about, you know, this idea that we return to over and over again, that as Christians, as followers of Christ, that we're not called to be right, but to be righteous. To not be self-justifying through our own works, through getting everything right ourselves, but to just rest in the peace of knowing that our righteousness comes not from our own works, but from what Christ has done for us. And I realized that a lot of the energy I was expending trying to juggle, figuring out what I was going to do with my evening, was getting caught up in that same old trap of feeling judged by myself and by how others would perceive my actions and wanting to do what is right. It's a trap. And it's a trap that's baited with the best of intentions, and it's so easy to fall into it. And, you know, we can look to the history of the church and recognize that this desire to do what God calls for us to do, that is the root, in some ways, of how we are to live out our faith, can lead Christians, people of faith, to do some really awful and evil things. You know, even just looking to the history of our own nation, during the time of slavery, there were Christian ministers who defended slavery because of the way that it's written about in certain books of the Bible. You know, we can stand now here in 2019 and look back on that with some hindsight and say, oh, they were way off on what God intends for how people are to live in community. But I imagine that for each of us, that we can turn the mirror on our own lives and recognize those ways in which we fall error ourselves. You know, fail to live up to the things that we know we should do, or do the things that we know that we shouldn't. So in the midst of all this, in the midst of all of our best intentions, how we can fall astray, it isn't surprising to me that in our gospel this morning we have Jesus talking to his followers on that evening of the Last Supper as he knows he's getting ready to depart from them physically and doing his best to reassure them. Say, hey, you're not going to be abandoned. I'm not going to leave you orphaned as you seek to go forward doing my will. You know, my Father will send in my name the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who's going to be with you always, teaching you, guiding you, instructing you in the ways that we have been walking together these past few years. And as reassuring as that might sound, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't sit very nicely in our modern sensibilities. You know, I've got a buddy who, the way that he reads Scripture, he's like, you know, it seems like either the Holy Spirit is this kind of wishy-washy confirmation bias that just tells us to kind of keep doing what we're already doing anyway, or it's this weirdly invasive mind control that's always active and kind of working at us when we don't, whether we know it or not. I'm like, what? It doesn't feel very good on either side of those. But it's true that we can't really quantify the work of the Holy Spirit in the way that we like to. You know, we can't box it in all nice and neat. It doesn't fit in our way of ordering things. And yet, even though the how is perhaps a little unscrutable. You know, there are certain aspects about the nature of the Holy Spirit that God's Word does reveal to us. Its purpose is to remind us of Christ's ways, to teach us in everything. We had a great example of that last week when Peter received through the Holy Spirit this teaching, this instruction about how God's grace and love and inclusion was far wider than even the early church realized. And we hear that the Holy Spirit is present with us. That's where it is, and it will be with us forever and always. And that it comes to us because God wills it so, out of the love that God has for us, so that we might be reminded of that love and then be love for other people in the world. And in the midst of all of that nice sounding stuff, I do very much believe that the Holy Spirit is present and active in our world and in our lives, and that we can tune in to its movements in our midst. And just to offer up one possible way of trying to attune yourself to the workings of the Holy Spirit in your life, you may have heard this phrase already. I've heard it said different ways by different folks. But this sense of holy discontentment, or perhaps the need is the call, that I firmly believe that there are times, experiences in our lives where we are confronted with the not rightness of this world. The injustice, some might say. And that the Holy Spirit may be stirring up that discontentment with the world as it is in order to drive us to be God's people, to be the body of Christ in this world, working to make the world more as it ought be, as it could be. And that discontentment, that might drive you to some need that's different than a need that would arise for someone else or that would present to them. Because we're different folks with different gifts, different experiences. And so maybe for you, the Holy Spirit stirs up recognition that it's not right for kids to be hungry, and we should do something about that. Or maybe a desire to walk with those who are struggling with addiction. Or a deep-seated need to work for justice within our nation to ensure that people are not being discriminated or oppressed because of their sex or their race or how they live. You know, perhaps the Holy Spirit is at work in you to work within your community to make your life and the lives of people around you more in line with caring for God's creation, which we are entrusted to steward. Holy Spirit works in a myriad of different ways. And this is but one. But it resonates for me. It makes sense to me that the Holy Spirit works in this way because of how we hear in Scripture that God sent the Holy Spirit so that we might be instructed about all of the ways in which Christ had been teaching his disciples and how those teachings continue to reveal to us how to be God's people in our own time. And yet I recognize that as I name that the Holy Spirit works in a myriad of ways and sometimes uncommon or unexpected happenings of our day-to-day, that I might be just leading us back to the same problem I started with. That perhaps I've walked us right back up to the point where even though now I've said, it's okay to walk in the midst of this ambiguity of how we ought live because the Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, instructing us, that I've presented this description of the Holy Spirit that comes with its own ambiguities, that now instead of trying to figure out how we live rightly, it's just a question, well, how do I figure out what the heck the Holy Spirit's telling me to do if it's so ambiguous all the time? And there, too, we get instruction. There, too, God is faithful with us. Because God tells us that in the midst of all of the inscrutable ways that God might be at work in our world, that God promises to faithfully meet us in the reading of Scripture, in the gathering to hear the Word proclaimed, and in the sharing of the sacraments. Because it is in this gathering with other believers that we can work out together our journeys of faith. that we can support one another, that we can bear witness in the lives of one another, signs of God's loving presence, so that each of us might be strengthened to go forth out into the community, being signs of that love and that care in the lives of others, so all might know the love that God has for them. Thanks be to God.